us to listen to your holy word, that your word may become a part of our hearts and lives. For we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Having grown up in the Philadelphia area, I used to be a sports fan of the Philadelphia professional sports teams. Now, you may not know this, but my rule is wherever I live, that's who I vote for. But in the mid-1970s, the Philadelphia Flyers national hockey team won more than one Stanley Cup during that time period. In fact, the Philadelphia Flyers earned a nickname, the Broad Street Bullies. They were called the Broad Street Bullies because our stadium, the Spectrum, was on Broad Street in Philadelphia. And they were bullies because they fought a lot. In fact, the player who fought probably the most was a man by the name of Dave Schultz. In a hockey game, when he took off the gloves, you knew what was about to happen. That physical action of taking off the gloves means a fight was about to erupt on the ice. It communicated what was about to happen. In our epistle lesson reading for this morning, Stephen has some sharp words of prophetic criticism against the religious leaders because they had rejected Jesus as Messiah. Stephen did not start this fight. The religious leaders took off the gloves when they accused Stephen of blasphemy. But Stephen was rightly defending himself. This morning, I'm going to complete speaking about Stephen's defense and then speak of Stephen's death. So my first point is Stephen's defense. In Acts 7, verses 47 through 50, Stephen says that the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands. This does not mean that God was not present in the temple, for God had commanded Solomon to build this temple in 1 Kings chapter 6. In fact, in that chapter, God promised that if the children of Israel would walk in obedience to his statutes and commandments, the Lord would dwell among the sons of Israel and would not forsake his people. What Acts 7, 47 through 50 is saying is that God's presence would not be limited to the temple in Jerusalem, but he would dwell in every soul which trusts in him as God and Savior. In Acts 7, 51, Stephen makes a turn in his defense as he goes from reviewing Israel's history from Abraham, Joseph, Moses, and Solomon to bringing up Israel's past and present sins as they rejected God's plan of salvation and God's word through his prophets. At the time, Stephen was saying to the then contemporary Jewish leaders that they continued to resist the Holy Spirit in their opposition to the Lord Jesus and his appointed apostles and followers. It is here that Stephen turns the corner and turns the tables on the religious leaders as he makes an assessment of their spiritual waywardness in resisting the work of the Holy Spirit as they continue to reject the message that Jesus is the Christ and the Lord. Their fathers rejected the prophets, and these religious leaders betrayed and murdered the righteous one, the Lord Jesus, whom they nailed to the cross of Calvary. It is this Lord Jesus that the law of Moses and the prophets pointed to and proclaimed. And so just as their fathers had rejected the prophets, they had rejected the great and final prophet, the Lord Jesus. And so that is Stephen's defense. And now we pivot from Stephen's defense to his death by martyrdom. Stephen sees Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God the Father as he is stoned. Acts 7:56 says this, and he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." We are used to hearing the words Christ seated at the right hand of God, but here the Lord Jesus is standing at the right hand of God. John Stott says in his commentary, quote, Stephen has been confessing Christ before men, and now he sees Christ confessing his servant before God. In seeing Christ standing at the right hand of God, Jesus is fulfilling a promise to Stephen that he has made to all his people, as Jesus gives this promise in Matthew 10:32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Stephen has confessed Christ before these men, and Christ is confessing Stephen before God the Father. And so Christ is standing in defense of Stephen. He is saying to God the Father, this is one of mine. And he says that about all his people. The advantage that Stephen has is that he actually saw Christ standing at the right hand of God. But what we must take from this is we must, through the eyes of faith, know that if we belong to Christ, he is vindicating and naming us as one of his own, and as he intercedes for us at the right hand of God. The second thing that happened as Stephen was dying, as he was being stoned, is that Stephen entrusted himself to the Lord. Acts 7:59 says this, they went on stoning Stephen, and as he called on the Lord, said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Stephen's prayer was similar to Christ's prayer to God the Father on the cross, recorded in Luke 23:46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Stephen shows a godly example at this last segment of his life as it is ending. With great physical pain and suffering, he commits himself to God. Stephen had lived his entire life in dedication and service to God and for the assistance of others. And this is his last act of consecration and dedication. All of Stephen's life is cut from this same garment, that of love for the Lord and service to the Lord. And so as he lived and even as he is dying, he commits himself to the Lord. May we imitate Stephen's dedication to the Lord in entrusting ourselves to the Lord, especially as we pass through trials and suffering. Third, Stephen prays to God for the forgiveness of his persecutors. Acts 7, verse 60 says this, then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. Stephen's words again mirror the Lord's request to God the Father about those who called for his death, as it is recorded in Luke 23:34. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. In the cases of both the Lord Jesus and Stephen, false witnesses accused them of blasphemy. Also in both cases, the execution was accompanied by these two prayers for the reception of his spirit as each one died, and also that their enemies would be forgiven of their sins. In the case of Jesus, he is praying to God the Father. In the case of Stephen, he is praying to the Lord Jesus, calling him Lord, and thereby acknowledging that Jesus Christ is fully God, even as God the Father is God. As Stephen prays that God would not hold this sin against his executioners, this prayer is wonderfully answered later as Saul recognizes Christ as Lord and Messiah. Let me make this obvious application to our lives. We are to forgive others who have wronged us, remembering that God in Christ has forgiven our sins as well. One practical application of the gospel that we must continue to make in our lives is to extend to others who sin against us their forgiveness through Christ, because we also are sinners who sin against God and other people. In Matthew 6, verse 13, Jesus says this after giving us the Lord's Prayer: "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Stephen asked the Lord not to hold this sin against his persecutors, and he gives us the godly example to do the same. As Christians, to whom much is given, much is required. And in our life of living for the Lord, God gives us at times small tests. And if we pass them, God will give us bigger tests. We can't expect to forgive somebody the sin of murder if we don't first forgive them smaller sins of gossip, of backbiting, of revenge. And so help us, O Lord, to pass the small tests so that when bigger tests come, we may pass them as well by the grace of God. And so may God have mercy on us to extend to others the same mercy that we have been given through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Grant, O Lord, that in all our sufferings here on earth, for the testimony and truth of the gospel of your Son, we may steadfastly look up into heaven, and by faith behold the glory that shall be revealed. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, may we learn to love and bless our persecutors by the example of your first Christian martyr, Stephen, who prayed for his murderers to you, Lord Jesus, who stands at the right hand of God to relieve all those who suffer for you, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.